this morning,
daughter,
about the name
who went
of Jesus.
To be with Jesus.
And we've been looking at the things that are involved as we function in the glory that is going to be surrounding us more and more. A Spirit leads and directs us, and we need to drill deeper to find out just exactly how we are to function. Thank God, for example, we had the privilege today to pray for our sister to be healed of cancer. And from my seat, I ask God for a miracle for you. And I rebuked that thing, and I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, for a miracle. And I say it again because I believe that's the will of God. And we want to function in reality, not in any churchianity way, but in the reality that it's matters of life and death, and people matter, really matter to God. Last week, you know, we were talking about Mark 16. I want to read that to you again. This is the Great Commission as recorded in the book of Mark. It's about the power church. And verse 15, he said to them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we've preached and preached and preached and preached, but there's more. I mean, there's the rest of these verses. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you believe? Yeah. Isn't it time we had these signs following? Yeah. It's so much better to have signs following you than to be following signs. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. That's what I want to talk to you about today. In my name shall they cast out devils. Not cast at them. Cast them out. And they shall speak with new tongues. So don't be so surprised when somebody speaks in tongues in this church. We believe in that. It's a gift of God. And all over the world, there's millions of people who have this wonderful gift. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's why the gospel is all good news. Amen. Jesus reveals to us in his scripture how we can pray with power that heals the sick and casts out devils. Verse 17 says, the signs will follow those that believe. In my name they will cast out devils and speak with new tongues. And in the book of John, he tells them that they will receive anything that they ask in his name. Now that's one of those verses. Anything you ask in my name. And it's just for a little opening here. But he didn't say anything you ask for just saying my name. He said it had to be in my name. I want to talk to you about how to get into the name and how to get the revelation of being in the name and in the power of the name. In John 13 and 14, it says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. And the problem is not, well, he hasn't done it yet. The problem is we haven't gotten into the name yet. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This very next verse says, you shall, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he said it twice in a row. It was redundant. It was repetitive. He wants to get your attention. Ask in my name anything whatsoever, I will do it. That's going to be a part of working in the glory, is getting all those things we haven't gotten before. So first of all, what does it mean to ask in his name? It does not mean to use his name like a good luck charm. Or this goofy thing people do, I haven't had a cold in a while, knock on wood. Just knock on your head. There's no sense in saying things like that. Knock on wood. The phrase is, thank God. Because of God's faithfulness. Wood or knocking has nothing to do with your healing. And don't use it as a fetish to keep it. By the way, it has no power to keep you from it either. Remember the man in the book of Acts who actually thought he could cast out devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. It would be so nice if we could borrow somebody else's Jesus revelation of the name. You can't borrow theirs. You've got to get your own revelation. You have to know your own Jesus. You have to lay hold on your own power. But once you do, you can have what you ask. And as you know the story, it can't be through the name of Jesus that someone else preaches. It has to be through the name of Jesus that you know and witness to. You must know him, and you must know what it means to pray in his name. Well, Norval Hayes uncovered a wonderful healing truth. He was wondering why preachers who ministered healing and saw people healed, many times themselves were not able to be healed. And the Lord showed him the reason in many cases. He learned it's not enough to know that Jesus heals and to be willing to pray for people to be healed in Jesus' name. The power is in knowing Jesus as your healer. And get into the Word of God about that and get your own revelation by the Spirit of God about the healing Jesus. I just, the Lord taught me to say, you bore stripes for this. That's who you are. You bought it for me, and it's mine. It's not just something I can have. According to the Scripture, it's my right. Jesus called it the children's bread. It belongs. Healing belongs to us. Say, it belongs to me. These things are what it is to have a revelation of healing. You know, this stuff of, I know God can do anything. And I know he's good, and he can heal if he wants to. Well, here's a God who's good. It doesn't want to heal anybody. That's a difficulty for my mind. We're confused sometimes in what we've heard about religious things that should have been discarded many years ago. Well, it may be I can learn something from this sickness. I grant you, you'll learn something from it. You don't want to get as intelligent as I am about it, I'll tell you that. You need to get out of it as quickly as you can. Learn it quick if you're supposed to learn something, because you will learn something, but that's not the reason. It's because the enemy fights the will of God for you to be well and whole. What does it mean in my name? What does the name mean? It means pray in the authority of Jesus. In the name of Jesus is in the authority of Jesus. It's if you were on the police force and they gave you a badge and they told you could do things, you have authority going under the name of the local sheriff or the police department head or whoever it is. It's in that name. It's in the name of the law. It's in the name of the ones who have the true authority that you've been given a badge. We have been deputized to go in Jesus' name and clear out these towns that are all torn up with sickness and oppression. You are his deputy. He said, I give you authority in Luke 10:19 over all the power of the enemy. He gave it to you. The Father gave him the authority, and he gave it to the church. So therefore, as Kenneth Hagin has taught, don't ask him to do what he's already told you to do, because it's not his to do now, it is yours in his name, because that's how it is now. That's what he wants with you, to be a person who will represent him on this earth. I pray for people to be healed all the time, more outside than inside the church probably. I pray for people everywhere all the time. Most people will be glad if you pray for them. I mean, if you don't shake their false teeth out and yell at them too much. If you just pray like someone who has faith and a little measure of good sense, most people will appreciate your prayers. It's a part of the Christian's life. That's what you're here for. You have something in you that the world doesn't have. It means in the authority of. It means in the power of. In Jesus' name means in the power of Jesus. in Jesus' power. You know, even that centurion that came to Jesus once, you know, he said, you don't even have to go there. If you just say, I'm a man under authority, I understand about authority, just say it. It's because it's in his name. It's not in your name. It's in his name. And here's probably the most amazing one. It's awesome. This is really awesome. It really means instead of. In place of. As his representative. Instead of going there, he has sent you there. And you're going representing him. The fourth thing is in the will of. Don't think you can get your prayers answered if they're not in the will of God. You can't just pray anything. You can't just say, this dead person's going to be raised. And this miracle is going to happen over here. It has to be in the will of God, to whom he has given someone either a gift or he is moving by his spirit to cause something to happen, and he will allow you to be a part of it. Well, I've already talked about miracles and those things last week. But today I just want us to see the wonderful privilege that we have to pray in the name of Jesus, in his authority, in his power, instead of him, and in his will. Instead of is to say that instead of his going, you go. We use his name. We take his name with us. We are carriers of his name. We go in his behalf. You know, in all kinds of jobs and situations, we have people that we have appointed on our behalf to do certain things and to accomplish these things because we have the responsibility. You know, Jesus has the responsibility. He's the healer. He has the responsibility, and he has called us to go in his name and in his behalf, and he'll use us as the channels through whom that healing flows. For example, we want to have worship in the church here, and so we deputized Eddie and Andy. Lead this worship. Help us with this thing that we want. Now, really, just maybe get it where you can understand it. What if Eddie and Eddie just strolled through one day and jumped up on the platform and said, we just think we're going to worship, lead worship today? Well, they could do a good job, but we would be so set back by their attitude in it, it'd be hard for us to receive. I mean, you have to be invited. And you have to operate under the authority that has given you that place to do that. So a lot of us are like people, we could be like people just intruding into situations where we really haven't come to the place that we have a revelation of the name. And we're just trying to use his name and it doesn't have the power that it's supposed to. But because Eddie and Andy have the authority to do that, because I've given them that authority, then you receive, they have the ability that's in them, and we're able to worship. Now, the Lord has given us just as real an authority and a commissioning to heal the sick and to cast out devils in his name. See, if you don't think about this, if you don't go to that person in the nursing home, I know that Kathy and some are involved in that ministry here. If you don't go to that person in Jesus' name and pray for that person, then Jesus doesn't make that trip to their bedside. I heard Tommy Barnett preach such a message on going to people. It so melted my heart, and ever since then, I've just wanted to see people go to nursing homes and do this. And he said, while you're there, look at their gnarled fingers and remember how many meals they've cooked and how many buttons they've sewed on and how much they've prayed and travailed and worried over their children, how many years they've done that faithfully. And thank God that you have a chance today to bless them and take the things of Jesus and deliver it to them. We go in Jesus' name. We go to the prison in Jesus' name. I was thrilled. By the way, go to the prison. I mean, go for a visit. I was so thrilled. I've been numerous times. I've to a lot of prisons, even in other countries. But I was ministering in our prison we ministered to, and a man with some sort of a Muslim cap on came to me, and I was so shocked. And he said, "Thank you, ma'am, for telling us about Jesus tonight. We really need this." I don't know what all that meant. I can't put all that together. I was just so glad that he received it. And I was real glad I went. Because if you don't go to people, all of these things that follow the commissioning follow the word go. And go means a change in location. And when you go somewhere, this power starts working. And some people just don't want to go. I've had people say, I don't think I want to go to the prison. It's the grace of God that you haven't had thoughts that put you in prison. Every one of us, the scripture says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And we need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Do you know the number one reason to minister in the prison? Because Jesus said, when the sheep and goats are judged, there will be those that he will say, I was in prison and you visited me. Well, hallelujah. You want to get some points where you know you're going to have an abundant entrance in. That's a great place to start. And when you begin, you know, when St. Peter opens that gate for you, you can tell him, I did visit in the prison. God acknowledges that. You won't be like the man who who beat his wife to heaven. And they weren't getting along at all. In fact, he couldn't stand her. And so the story goes that St. Peter wanted to take a day off, and he put this man, this woman's husband, in charge. And so when she came to the gates, he said to her, saw his wife, said to her, all right, but to get in, you've got to be able to spell one word. Nobody gets in here that can't. Well, she said, what is it? Czechoslovakia. If you don't go, then the people don't get a visit from Jesus when you could have taken him to them. That's how serious it is. Preaching the gospel is limited by man's will to obey what God commanded him to do. We do know this, don't we? I have people a lot of times thank me for just preaching the gospel. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for just telling us these things. And if person after person doesn't answer that call, then the gospel won't get preached. Or there'll be so little preaching. There'll be so many people that can miss hearing it preached. That's how it works. Our physical bodies are the instruments Jesus uses to operate on earth. All of his plans are carried out by his body, the church. He has delegated his gospel authority and power to his body. The kingdom is within us, the scripture says. The kingdom is within you. That makes you extremely valuable. People that have something in them are valuable. You go to apply for a job, they want to know what you're going to bring to the table. If you have a skill, if you have an ability, if you have an understanding that's valuable to them, then they're going to pay you a lot for it. Money can't buy what you can give people that you haven't. The kingdom of God is within you, the scripture says. And when Jesus came to earth, he himself needed a body to carry out his Father's will. That's what the scripture says. Colossians 1:20 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He trusted us to put that in us, the hope of glory. This means Jesus lives in us and wants to minister through us. He needs to use our bodies, think about it, to reach our families and friends. The prison ministry, for example, is carried out by bodies full of the Holy Ghost going in Jesus' name to show His love and His salvation to people who may or may not have known about it. But you can be saved in prison, and they have really great meetings there. I mean, isn't it right for anybody, no matter how bad they've been or what they've done, isn't it right for them to have the gospel preached to them? That's what it is to go in Jesus' name. Philippians 2:13 says it's God who works in you, but works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So it means that He gives us the authority to do. He gives us the power to do the work. We'll be working in His will, and we'll be going instead of Him on His behalf. Now, then, I want to share just a couple of minutes here on how to receive this power. And I want to use two words. One is humility, and the second is availability. It just came to me like this. The way to receive the power of the name would be the same way that Jesus received power to have His name. Philippians 2:5 through 11 tells how that happened. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Well, I'm going to tell them who I am. They'd better not find out who they're talking to. This is why it makes me mad if I'm not first to get in the line. Because I haven't yet made myself of no reputation. I'm the person who deserves for nobody to get in front of me. Just dealing with something little, which wouldn't apply to any of you, but to some other church members. Made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. You know, somebody said, well, you know, maybe I need to go through some things to humble me. Well, you probably get around to that, but meanwhile, you can humble yourself, the Bible says. Humble yourself. Don't take the biggest hamburger. I mean, start with the nitty-gritty little tiny things that shouldn't matter at all, but they really do. Sometimes we push and shove just to make sure. Sometimes we manipulate just to make sure. These are the kinds of things that we need to take a look at in ourselves. And He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted Him. Wherefore means because of this. Because of this, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Say it together. And given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just jotted down five things that Jesus did that put Him in a place to receive the power of the name. One, He made Himself of no reputation. That hasn't always been easy for me. And I know it hasn't been for you to take the low place. But if you take the low place, Jesus says, then they can say to you, come up higher. But if you start at the high place, like, you know, when I was working as a secretary on my last job, everybody was afraid of the boss, and nobody would ever ask him for a raise, but I did. And so he had sort of a dry sense of humor. I was secretary to the president of the corporation. And so I said, well, I wanted to talk to you to see what you could do for me. Something I made it sound very sort of palatable, nice. I didn't just say, any time you gave me a raise. And he said, what'd you have in mind? I said, I had in mind an increase in pay. Well, he said, how long have you been here? I forget. I think it was 2 years or something like that. Is that right? Well, you have done a good job. I had seven girls before you, you know. They didn't stay, all seven. And one, he would bring the checks in. She'd written checks out for him to sign. And he brought one of the checks out. They told me this after she was already gone. And he brought the checks out that he was signing and handed one to her. I'll make up her name. And he said, Bobby, you're going to have to write these checks again. They got tears all over them. So he talked to her hateful about something. She was crying and writing the checks. I thought, what a story. I thought, I'm not going to waste any tears on you. I knew I wasn't. We had a different kind of relationship. It's just a job, for goodness sake. And if I can't do it, then I'll just do something else. So then he leaned back in his chair and he said, well, I think I'm going to see what I can do about that. And you know, after I did that, it so shocked the person that was working there right beside me that had been there 25 years and had never asked for a raise, that she went and asked for a raise too. I thought it was great. It was just a small revolution. He made himself of no reputation. Secondly, he became a servant. And this isn't easy for us either. Well, you know, I wanted to preach. I didn't know they was going to ask me to help clean the sanctuary. It'd be funny, wouldn't it, if one morning we just sort of did it the way people thought. And you came in and some people were sitting, but most of the people were on the platform getting ready to preach. It just doesn't happen that way. He became a servant. Start being a servant. Thirdly, he identified with man. I'm going to tell you something. I think we miss this sometimes. If you're not careful, I heard this about A.A. Allen. You know, I showed you that video last week. And Shambach said about him, he learned something that a lot of great ministers forgot. He learned to relate to the individual, and he stayed there all of his life. Sometimes I don't think we continue that. And it's easy sometimes to just get once or twice removed. We've got to always identify. If we're going to have the power of the name, we've got to really identify with the people we're ministering to. Fourthly, he humbled himself. You know, he said, I've got the power to get angels to come to me if I want to. I can choose to lay my life down or to pick it up. You choose whether or not you're going to take the humble place or not. Well, I invited them to dinner and they didn't invite us back. We're just not going to have anything to do with them anymore. Why don't you go ahead? Jesus said, why don't you just go ahead and invite people that can't repay you? Then you'll know you get a reward. I've done a lot of things for people that will never pay me back because they can't. That feels good. And number five, he became obedient. A lot of times we would like to have the things of the Spirit. We'd like to feel them. We'd like to experience them. But we forget about these things are promised to those that obey him and do his commandments. If we become committed to his will and plan totally, and if we obey him and allow the Spirit to direct our paths, then we're in a place where we can have the power of his name and availability. Last item, finally. The only ability God seeks in man, really, is availability. I know this because he chose me when I didn't have any abilities to start with to do what he called me to do. He called me, would you believe, before I ever went to Bible school? I guess he was going to use me maybe whether I went or not. He was just going to take a chance. Except God never takes a chance. He knows the end from the beginning. The Good Samaritan is the picture of complete availability. Luke 10, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now we've got a Levite and a priest. It's the pastor and the worship leader were the ones that wouldn't do this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And the Samaritan was somebody that the Jews didn't even have anything to do with. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. In my message yesterday at the funeral, I was saying how unusual it is really for a thief to be preaching. But the thief on the cross preached to the other thief. And because he recognized the fact that they both deserved to die, then he could come to a Savior. And I love it because he couldn't get off the cross to prove that I really will do all these things. And he couldn't, he didn't have any time because today was death day. So he couldn't say, Lord, you'll see, I'll do right. So now we learn from that, that salvation comes by looking in the face of Jesus Christ and saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. He wants people like that, that know he does it all. So amazing. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He should have gotten those yaks that we saw running across with those things. I never saw a yak act like that before. I mean, they just lope along. And but these, did you see how those animals were flying across the screen? This was the best one we've had on the shoebox thing. It was entertaining, really. He set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He not only ministered to him, but he looked even into his future, as if maybe people need to be discipled and taken a little further than just getting a handout from us. Glad you came to church today. That's not really much to do for a person, is it? But Jesus wants our availability. I think this is the one, the most beautiful examples. I'm sure that the priest couldn't, the pastor couldn't do it because he was getting his sermon ready for Sunday morning. And Mrs. Bottomless Purse wanted him for something. And so he needed to go and make sure that all of her needs were met. And was so busy petting and patting in his little category that he didn't even see the category of the truly suffering. And the worship leader, of course, was getting ready for the worship, and he couldn't get involved with that because there's never time when you've got so much going on. God, help us to be available. That's what he's called us for. And remember that I've shared with you probably 3 or 4 times lately, all legitimate power to use his name comes directly from relationship. Because he said in Matthew 7, many are going to say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, lawlessness. And it's lawless to use the name of Jesus when he doesn't know you. You've got to know him. That's the revelation of the power of his name, is you know the one whose name you are representing. It's not going to happen for the person who only has head knowledge and repeats the phrase, in Jesus' name. It's a spiritual reality and can only be powerful through revelation by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad today that he keeps on giving the instructions? I kind of feel like the Lord is peeling off the layers of some of the things that we've thought that we know, but then we're finding that we have just read the first chapter about it. I mean, we can say the name of Jesus, and I have wondered before, you know, I've thought, well, some people say the name of Jesus and things really happen, and others say his name and it doesn't happen. What's the difference? I want us to stand together today, and I believe that The Lord wants to give us prayers just from each of us, from our own hearts. I believe that the Lord, when He spoke to me concerning the power that we need to minister in the glory, that He showed me that He was going to begin to unravel these things that have been mysteries to us. Isn't it been neat how God has shown us in the past few months and weeks things that are just fresh to us? That we've done some of these things, but now He's showing us how to walk in the Holy Ghost revelation of it. Let's just bow our hearts in His presence for a moment this morning. Holy Spirit, we're just asking You. We've heard Your word, and we believe in the washing of the water of the word. We thank You that Your word has washed us today from lack of understanding and unbelief and confusion. We believe that we now have understanding that's in our spirit and is communicated to our minds in a way that we haven't had hold of it before. And we praise You today that we are stronger now simply because we have knowledge of these things. I thank You, Lord, that You don't leave us somewhere wondering, but You come to us. And when we ask You, You keep opening it up to us. And we declare today, Lord, we want to minister in the glory in such a powerful way that none of us anymore think that we are just here to get something for ourselves or to fulfill a duty. But we know that when we gather in the sanctuary that we are here to release our prayers together and to see people healed and to see them completely set free and to see them delivered and to see them saved. And we declare and believe that deliverance and salvation and healing is in this house today. We thank You, Lord, for Your angels that minister in the very atmosphere. I thank You, Jesus, that You have compassion on every pain and every sickness and every chronic sickness, every fear, every dread that's weighing on any person's mind, every oppression that makes anyone sad, even lonely-heartedness. I pray, Lord, for the lifting up of the Holy Ghost in this house today. And I pray a breakthrough from heaven against things that are chronic and things that people have dealt with for a long time. And I declare today in Jesus' name that Jesus is timeless. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Reach out and receive the answer for that chronic need you have today. We speak Omega over the long time of waiting. And we say, Lord, today. Everybody say today. Today, thank You that faith is now. And we release our faith in this sanctuary now, today, 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 today. Those of you that need a healing touch today, I want you to put your hand on that place, if it's convenient, that needs to be healed. And we believe the healing river that flows from the throne of God is going to flow in this church today. It's going to flow. River of God, will You flow through this house today? Thank You, Lord, for that river that has healing for the leaves of the trees and for the healing of the nations, and the river flows out. I thank You for all of that reality of healing that's based right in the throne and manifested in Jesus as our wonderful healer. And in Jesus' name, I speak concerning every physical need. And we declare and receive together Your healing. And I say in Jesus' name, be healed. Receive a miracle. And I rebuke every work of the enemy and everything that tries to cause you to be weak and sick and powerless. I declare the lifting up of the Holy Ghost, and I declare miracles today. I thank You for breakthrough miracles from heaven today. And I pray, Lord, for every person that's been oppressed in their mind. Just put your hand on your mind. Been oppressed in your mind. Put your hand on your head, I mean. And we're going to believe for a breakthrough in your mind. There lifts off of you that oppression. The devil's a liar. Partner with God by believing Jesus that He's going to lift you up in the power of the Holy Ghost.